Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast for YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran. Joe Auriemma is seated to my left. You are right.
I'm here, yes.
That makes absolutely no sense. But if you like what you're listening to, you know, you can go back and you could get all of our other podcasts on YesNetwork.com, or you could subscribe to the Off the Wall podcast on iTunes, and you could put this stuff right onto your little iPad or iPod or whatever, and you take it in your car and you plug it into your car, and if you have a long trip, you could listen to me and Joe.
Just what everybody wants to
hear. It's like we're on the radio.
It's awesome.
So, having said that, let's get down to business. You know, it's the NBA has played half of their schedule, more than half, 33, some 34, some 35 games underway in this 66-game season. The New York Knicks, who everybody thought would be in the playoff mix this year, are actually in the seventh hole right now in the Eastern Conference. They're 17-18.
Bad start, you know.
Bad start. Didn't have a point guard. Jeremy Lin, the Linsanity started. You know, it started with the Nets, and Darren Williams kind of put the kibosh on that when he went back into the Garden and held his own and then some, scoring a net high in his career, 38. His career high is 42 with the Jazz, but he just went off that game.
And the Heat kind of put him in his place a little bit, too.
Right. He looked scared in that Heat game. He really didn't look like he was ready to be there. And, you know, when beat reporters are going up to their team and asking them about, you know, this kid Jeremy Lin, at first, you know, it's fine. But for a week straight, players are going to get together and say, you know what, let's put an end to this right now.
Yeah.
I mean, media saturation is the worst thing that could have happened. Like, it's the best thing and the worst thing that could happen to Jeremy Lin.
And it's funny because I still think he's a talented player. I think that he's going to be a good point guard in this league. I really do think that. But I think it's twofold right now. I think that with all the media saturation, like you said, teams are keying on him. To try to kind of shut everybody up, knowing that Carmelo still isn't 100%. Also, it's now the gelling of the players that were out while Jeremy Lin was on his spectacular run. Amar'e Stoudemire does not look like the same player that he was last year, not the same jump that he had last year. It looks not the same score. But when it comes down to it, I think this team is going to gel and come into a cohesive unit. And I really think it can't be anything but good things that Carmelo Anthony is back and Jeremy Lin, they're going to work things out to become a better team.
You got
to
give it some time. I mean, the media saturation is something that happens nowadays, you know, with the Twitter and the Facebook and everything else that follows everything. And, you know, you can't, like, sneeze or blink an eye without having something come up on Twitter, and then everybody rallies around it. Then, oh, it's a trending topic. Oh, my God, it's big news. Holy crap, it's breaking news. It's just like, it's amazing how things blow up now. As I look at my Nets calendar right in front of me, and there's a tweet, there's a bird that says, follow us on Twitter. It's just, it's everywhere. And I think that problem, that's the problem with the Knicks right now, is that when you win eight in a row, and this goes for any New York team, when you win eight in a row, people expect you to win the rest of your games. You know, one loss, two losses happen, and the sky's falling. You know that, especially with the Yankees. You know that as well as anybody. You know,
New York.
You know, it's just like it's the best when it's the best, and it's the worst after one loss.
It really is amazing because you see that, you know, Knicks fans were really back and are really back. When the Knicks are really good, Chris, they own the town. They really do own the
town. They do. The Rangers are killing in the Eastern Conference right now. The Knicks were an under 500 team, and because of Lin and you know, the six game, the seven game winning streak, the Rangers couldn't even find the back page of the papers.
Yeah, I mean, basketball reigns supreme in New York when the team is good, and that's the bottom line. When the team is good, you know, the Knicks are New York. The Rangers always had competition with the Islanders. They have competition with the Devils. you know, the Knicks, I'm not trying to undersell the Nets.
There are some people out there that still believe that Dwight Howard is coming here. I don't see it.
Tim Legler actually mentioned it today on ESPN.
I do not see it. I Darren Williams, he's waxing poetic. The beat writers are with the Nets in Dallas right now, and Darren Williams is waxing poetic about American Airlines Arena and how the sight lines are awesome and the backdrop and everything. He loves his hometown team. He loves Mark Cuban. Listen, I really think with Kidd being as old as he is.
Being 110 years old.
Exactly. He's got his ring.
No, I agree.
And if he wants to play again next year.
Dirk still has some good years left,
I think Jason Kidd could be a viable backup for another year.
Dirk
if he wants.
Still has some good years.
I just think.
Jason Terry's still a big cog in
the Howard team. And Williams want to win. They're going to Dallas because they have a third in Dirk. Who do they have if they stay with the Nets?
Nobody.
Because they're trading Brooks and Lopez.
Yeah, you're right.
Who's there? So it's going to be.
It's just funny how you said that because you're like, they're trading Brooks and Lopez. Yeah. And for people that don't watch the Nets, it's Marshawn Brooks and Brooke Lopez.
So if the trade doesn't happen next year, it's Brooksland.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could put the old TM trademark on
it. But the whole thing is, the Nets are really in a tough spot.
But my point is, who do they have, Joe? If Dwight Howard and Darren Williams stay in New Jersey, who do they have?
Right, and that's the whole thing. It's, you know, they're going to be a duo instead of a trio.
Yeah.
And at least the Knicks have a guy in Tyson Chandler who could score, who's really good on the defensive
Excellent
end.
On defense.
Shumpert is coming out of the woodwork with his defensive prowess. I like Novak as a shooter.
I do too.
And that's something where the Knicks finally have depth.
That's the best point we've made so far. All those players you just mentioned, the Knicks now have the role players to go along with the stars. J.R. Smith is another one.
Yeah, they got
depth. You know,
and
we've talked about it here in the office. He can go 0 for 20 one night, but he could be 19 for 23 the next night.
Yeah, I mean, but they're not asking him to be that guy either.
Role player.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You know, you come off the bench, you know your role, you input yourself into that role, and that's what everybody means when they say buy in. You don't need 30 points a night. Okay? You don't need to take 50 shots a night. You're a team. You don't have to isolate anymore. You know, move the ball. When Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire were out of the lineup, and these guys went on, I think it was a 5 or 6 game winning streak until Amari came back and he was involved in it in the 7th win of the streak. But the Knicks were just, they were a different team, and it was because of Jeremy Lin, and he was bringing every, now I know like there wasn't a scouting report on him, but you know, 6 games into a winning streak, you should know how to stop somebody if you're a professional scout and an NBA player. And you just, you know, you watch the team and it was an exciting team. The ball was moving all over the perimeter. You know, the Lin would drive and penetrate and kick out to a wide open Novak or he'd have Jared Jeffries, who's been playing really spirited defense.
And I definitely think that could still happen in the second half, and it could be even better if Carmelo gets healthy.
I just think the Nets are in trouble.
The Nets are in trouble.
I don't think anybody's coming here. I think when you open that arena in Brooklyn next year, and this is just my opinion, I think it's going to be Marshawn Brooks and Brook Lopez.
But
that
goes to my point, though.
And deal with it.
If the Nets really feel, as the trade deadline approaches, that Dwight Howard is not going to be moved or moved to another team, the Nets really have to think about what they're going to do with Darren Williams. Because they gave up a lot to get Darren Williams.
They should trade him and get as much as they can.
And they,
for him.
If they get nothing for him in return, if he signs somewhere else,
if they chance it and he goes, they got nothing to show for it.
They're in big trouble. They saw the haul that they could get for Darren Williams. Now, if they realize that they're not going to get Dwight Howard, they should really think about possibly trading Darren Williams to get that type of haul back and getting some depth.
In fact,
if you're not going to get superstars, at least get depth and try to compete.
I'm glad you brought that up because if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say that by the trading deadline, March 15th, Darren Williams is out of here rather than Dwight Howard coming in here. That's just my opinion.
I agree. I still think there is a chance that the Nets will get Dwight Howard. I do think that. I don't think it's funny because they talk about how, you know, Brooklyn You know, they're moving to Brooklyn. They're doing this. They're doing that. It's going to be a whole new franchise. But if they're selling on Brooklyn, if that's what they're selling Dwight Howard on, you know, come to Brooklyn. You and Darren could be a dynamic duo, and we'll build a team around you. And, you know, you guys are going to be in a new arena, a whole new barrow, a barrow of sports fans. This Knicks run has not helped that cause, because it just shows that the city of New York belongs to the Knicks.
It's as simple as that.
That's what it shows.
And, you know, what does going to Brooklyn mean? What does that have to do with anything? I mean,
it is going to be a beautiful arena.
It is,
nobody's
but
nobody's
it's not a selling point for a guy who wants to win.
Of course. Of course.
You know, the Nets aren't exactly the premier franchise, not only in the area, in the NBA.
Yeah. No, I know.
You know, they had their little run with Richard Jefferson, Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin.
It was nice.
Keith Van Horn, it was a very nice run.
It was.
But it's over.
And if you don't get Dwight Howard, you need to get something in return. Because like I said, at least if you're not going to go via the way of the superstar, at least you can try to compete year to year with a team that's at least deep with some sort of talent.
And listen.
Now, you're not going to beat the Miamis of the world.
No, listen. I sit here and I do the pre and post game on nights. And it's just, it's awful basketball. Okay? Because I watch the Heat too when they're on TNT. And if you watch a Heat game and you watch the Nets, it's night and day. And it's awful to watch. And I have friends who are Nets fans who grew up in New Jersey who have wrote on the Nets Facebook page that, you know, they're done because they can't take it anymore. They don't know what to do anymore because they're fed up with the awful basketball that's being played. And I don't think, and it's a shame, because I don't think it has anything to do with their head coach. I think Avery Johnson is a tremendous head coach. I do. But he needs some more pieces, okay? Brook Lopez has been hurt. He just came back. He's not even playing, you know, consecutive games. He might now, after the break, be in consecutive games with that foot. And he's still having some issues with it. His arch hurts. You saw that. But give this guy, you know, give him some ingredients. Open the door to the cabinet. You know, don't have, like, cobwebs in there. And I know he has Darren Williams. Anthony Morrow, I love him, but he's inconsistent. You know, it's not like when the ball goes to Morrow on the wing, you could just say, oh, that's a three. That's in. If Ray Allen gets the ball on the wing, I think it's going in. Especially if he's playing the Knicks. I don't feel like that if Morrow's throwing up a three. Mehmet Okur's been on the shelf. Damian James, who was playing good ball, he got hurt. He's done. Deshaun Stevenson has been in and out of the lineup. Avery Johnson has started 17 different starting lineups. 17 different starting lineups in 35 games. So that's almost half the games they played. He's had a different starting five on the floor.
Wow.
That's impossible.
Wow. You can't win like that.
And there's
you
no consistency.
Like yeah. You're right. You're right.
I hope for their sake and for their fans' sakes that Dwight Howard does get here. I hope Darren Williams does stay. Don't get me wrong. I want the Nets to be
and
good.
And I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm saying
I'm an
that
admitted
it's better.
Knicks fan, too.
I am a Knicks fan.
It's better when the teams are competitive.
Agreed. It's better when the two teams in the New York area are competitive.
I don't want people to misread this and say, oh, he just wants them to suffer. No, I don't. I have to admit this. When I'm a Knicks fan, say it loud and clear. When Jason Kidd and the Nets were playing the way they were playing, getting to the finals for those 2 years, I was a rabid Net fan. I was on the bandwagon. I'm not ashamed to admit it. They were fun to watch.
Yes, they were definitely a fun team
they
to watch.
They jumped out of the gym. They were up and down the floor. Teams didn't have a chance. And they were fun to watch. Especially with the abomination we had at the Garden. You know, it's just like now. The Knicks are watchable. You know, they excite you. Just like back then, the Knicks were unwatchable and the Nets excited you.
Right.
It's kind of the opposite now. And I'm sorry, but you just have to deal with it. And by the way, I have to say this too, or you know what? I wouldn't be doing my job. the dog and pony show that went on with that Orlando Magic game was just hideous. Hideous. Placards outside the Magic's locker room. They hand out Dwight Howard heads to some section that they call Nets, the Nets Daily section. Air quotes. Come on. You know, I know it's a business. I know you're trying to recruit him in front of God and everybody. But if I'm Brook Lopez and I'm going out there on the floor, the lane is going to be Dwight Howard's. I'm not playing. I'm not playing. I'm sorry, but if you're a competitor and you're trying to compete, when your own team is trying to trade you or recruit the guy that they're going to trade you for right before your very eyes, why the hell do you want to be on the floor?
What's your motivation?
When the home fans are cheering for him and not for me.
Well, what exactly is your motivation to play?
The Nets, they market their ticket sales on teams that come in. Doesn't really say much when the Bobcats are in town. It gave me the heebie-jeebies. And I was here doing the game. And you know what? I cannot not say that. Because I sat here and I got chills. I won't say what kind, but I got chills. you could read between the lines.
I mean, you're doing your job. You're saying it like it is, and I agree with you. I'm in agreement with you that that's not good business.
And I'm looking out for Brook Lopez. I'm looking out for Marshawn Brooks. You know, these guys, and they, God bless them, they understand it. It's a business, whatever. But at the same time, tone it down a little. If you have to do that, if you have to add a light show and fireworks that went off prematurely, by the way, to try to get Dwight Howard to Brooklyn when you're still playing in New Jersey, ugh. It's just kind of like, look, if he wants to play here, he's going to play here.
Right.
You don't have, he knows Jay-Z is part owner of the team. Okay? He went up to him and shook his hand. I think he knows him. I think he knows what he owns. If Dwight Howard wants to play here, whether it be in New Jersey after the trade deadline and then to Brooklyn,
they'll make it happen.
He's going to, no, Dwight will make sure it happens.
Right.
If this goes past the trade deadline and both of these guys are free agents, mark my words.
They're not playing
in New Jersey.
I agree.
They're not playing in Brooklyn.
I was definitely saying this a while ago that there is a strong possibility that they could end up in Dallas. I said that. I definitely said that.
It's Darren Williams' home, and how good would it be for him to finish out his career playing at home?
Yeah. I also said L.A. is not a crazy destination for him to end up in.
I don't know how much Kobe has left in him, though. L.A.
I mean, the guy's averaging 29... 8-7 a night.
Yeah,
I mean,
but we heard A-Rod say he was going to retire because of his knee. So, God forbid something happens to his knee. And let's take what A-Rod says with a grain of salt. Zing!
Wow, this is quite a show.
Hey.
Well, listen. I just want to say, you know, this was a good basketball talk, but it's amazing how Chris Sheeran... The day after a Rangers win, oh, look at this guy wearing a Rangers shirt. Amazing.
And it's red.
It's red, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Devils were chumming the water last night.
I love the fact.
Chief Brody was shoveling the Devils into the water.
I love the fact that all these are, you know, and good for you. Good for you, Ranger fans. Rooting for your team that's first in the Eastern Conference. You have something to root for. I applaud you, Chris Sheeran.
I were a point off the President's Cup there,
I applaud you and
see,
all
the
Ranger
only
fans.
Reason why I said what I said before we got on the air is because the last time we were on the air, I had to know that the Devils were 8 points behind the Rangers. And I had to hear.
There's no way.
That I don't want to hear about the Rangers because the Devils are only 8 points back. Let's rewind it. Let's go to the videotape. I heard it. So I had to. When I saw Joe and then I saw Mike Medvin.
Look, all I'm saying is that it was a very good defensive performance from your New York Rangers. The Devils only had, what, 13 shots on goal?
13 shots, and the Rangers only had 15.
And the Rangers only had, so it was a tough defensive battle. Both Brodeur and Henrik Lundqvist played well.
Let me say this before you go any further. I just want to say that, you know, all these people that wanted Rick Nash on this team, do they remember mortgaging everything on the team for a superstar? Do you remember? Do you remember what happens with that? You have any idea?
You don't need to do that. This team is...
You have any idea? This team, as is, has 86 points. 86! They are 40 and 15!
And your goalie might win the Hart Trophy.
And your goalie just had his seventh 30-win season. 43rd career shutout. Six away from Ed Jockeman.
Was that his eighth shutout?
Eighth
of the
shutout
season?
This season, which leads the NHL. And you want to trade pieces to get another scorer in here? Listen. And God knows what Columbus wanted. I know they wanted Delzato. I know they wanted Dubinsky, who can't, you know, hit, you know, can't put the puck in the ocean right now. I get it. But the chemistry is there. These guys know each other. They know where they're going to be before they get there. It's like Team USA when they beat the Russians. It's like any team that's been together. You know, I'm not saying they're, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going.
These guys need to stay together, and they need to see what they can do in the postseason. And especially for Ranger fans, you know, all joking aside, we've had nothing to root for.
And this is why I applaud you.
Nothing. So shoot me, sue me, if I want to sit here and gloat about the Rangers, who are, you know, 9 points ahead of the defending Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins now in the Eastern Conference. Sue me.
Good for you, Chris.
Sue me.
Good for you, Jack. Yeah, you know, and like I said, I'm a Devils fan. People know that. I've made that abundantly clear on Twitter and, you know, to everybody out there.
And I'm not crapping on the Devils either.
No.
Look, this is a team that got out to a horrendous start. Horrendous. But as I say every year, Lou Lamoriello could plan my castle onslaught any day. This guy knows how to put winning hockey teams together. He does. He has a little problem with the coach every once in a while, but his teams win. His teams always get in the playoffs.
Look, and
Martin Brodeur is a big reason for that. But
Hedberg's playing well too.
Johan Hedberg is.
And here's the other thing with the Devils. As of right now, you know, they were the 4 seed before this 3-game stretch where they've lost their games. Going into the weekend. So they were the 4 seed. So they would have had to play the Flyers. They would have had the home, you know, home ice. But they would have had to play, if the season ended today, they would have had to play the Flyers.
They lost
as it stands right now.
After winning 4 straight, they've lost 3 straight.
So as it stands right now, they're the 6th seed, and they would have to play the Florida Panthers. I'm not advocating. I always think that teams should shoot to be as high as they can in the standings, especially, you know, when home ice is involved. But I'm also not saying, you know, oh, the 6th seed would be the worst possible thing for these Devils. It wouldn't, because you'd avoid the Flyers and the Penguins in the first round. And
I don't think home ice really matters.
It's, yeah.
I really don't.
It's, home ice is so overrated
nice.
In the NHL. It's overrated. Unless you're the Detroit Red Wings or the San Jose Sharks right now, who truly do have a home ice advantage.
Here, their first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Their first 6 games of March, half of them are against the Islanders.
They can easily make up points there.
They're at Boston, at Washington, at the Islanders, home for the Rangers, home for the Islanders, and then back out on the island before they go.
And that's
before
six
they
games?
Come back home, that's 6. Back home for Philly, and then away to Philly. So a home and home with the Islanders, and a home and home with Philly.
Okay, so I'd at least expect them. Here's my expectation.
So out of a possible 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 points.
I would expect them to walk away.
I would say
with,
2, 4, 6, 8.
I would expect
nine,
them to walk away with 10 to 12 points.
10 to 12 points. You would expect that out of them out of those games. Absolutely. But the Devils have turned it on in the second half. They're playing great hockey. The Rangers, you know.
But this is what makes hockey so great in this area too, because now you have the two teams who, honestly, Chris, watching that game, the renewed rivalry with these two franchises.
Clarkson wanted to fight everybody last night.
It's great. It's so great.
It is.
It's so great.
And it gets the fans into it. And
it was such a defensive battle.
My point that I never made back when I was talking about the Nash trade that never happened, which I'm so happy for. And you could, you know, I saw on Twitter people wanted Nash to come to the Rangers no matter what to give up. This team's missing something. Oh, yeah, really? 40-15? We're missing something? Really? Okay. Just, you know, throwing that out there. But my point is, the Rangers, over their past couple of weeks, you know, it's not been the same it's been for the entire season. We'll just go back to February 12th. They beat the Caps. They shut out the Bruins. Okay? Now, here come the rumors. They lose 4-2 to the Blackhawks. They beat Columbus with Nash in the building. They lose to the Penguins. They lose to the Islanders in a shootout. They beat the Sabres, and they beat the Devils.
I'll tell you what your biggest problem is right now. Your coach, who is an Italian, who is in the New York area with a big Italian population, wears the worst outfits. I mean, what was that suit last night that he was wearing? What, a 1985 call?
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
That's the worst problem that you have right now.
It's Tortorella's
suits. No, but I'm saying that's the worst problem you have right now. You're in first place. You're as a franchise, you're playing well. You have the best goalie in the league right now. Your defense is impregnable.
let me mention my point because I keep dancing around it. Every player will sit there till they're blue in the face and say the right things. If you think for a second the rumors didn't get into that clubhouse and didn't make a difference, you're blind. Because they showed last night their mettle, and they showed last night how happy they were to still be together. Look, I'm not saying they blew out the Devils, but they played a great game last night. Great game. 13 shots? That's a great defensive game.
Against Kovalchuk, Parisi,
and Kovalchuk,
Zubras.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. He's unbelievable. Yeah, and the Devils got him for the next 150 years, so.
Yeah, so good
should
for
be great.
You guys. All right, moving on to this weekend and what we're doing this weekend. We are making our yearly pilgrimage to Tampa, Florida. We'll get there. We'll set up shop. First day, obviously, we're not going to be able to do anything because we're getting there late. But Saturday, the Yankees play in Clearwater against the Phillies. They're playing the day we fly in. They're playing USF at George Steinbrenner Field, which should be fun for those guys. And then Saturday, they're at Clearwater. And then Sunday, the 4th, they're back at Steinbrenner Field for the Phillies. And I believe Monday, the 5th, they're back in Clearwater.
They are back in Clearwater, yes. But we're going to do a minor league day.
Yeah, and the 6th, we're heading to Bradenton to talk to AJ. And I saw something yesterday. He to get his number 34, he's paying for McCutcheon.
Dan McCutcheon's
daughter,
who's not even born
not even
yet.
Paying for his daughter to go to college. He's setting up a fund, one of those college funds, for his daughter to get his number. McCutcheon now wears 25, and Burnett is going to wear 34. So it pays to have somebody's number, apparently, when you're coming over from another team. He doesn't have to worry about his daughter's education. A.J. Burnett's going to take care of that. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool, and I am crying for Dan McCutcheon, especially that the league minimum now is $497,000 a year. So,
yeah, not to mention I'm going to have two to put through. So,
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
I appreciate that. But hey, you know, it's our yearly pilgrimage. We love going down. We love getting you the latest.
We're going to have interviews
from camp, and we're going to try to put together two minor league monthlies while we're down there.
Yeah.
We're going to try to talk to as many minor league guys as we can, because I know we both know, everybody knows that, you know, when someone goes down, when someone gets injured, God forbid, but when it happens, you know what happens, especially the young arms down the farm. You got Warren, you got Mitchell.
Phelps.
You got Phelps.
Banuelos, Betances.
And now with Burnett gone, these guys
are going to have a chance.
That was the best thing that could have happened to the Yankees pitchers in their farm system. These guys that ruled Scranton Wilkes-Barre last year are going to have a shot at coming up and maybe doing some spot starts. And who knows, maybe even sticking with the team if there's an injury that warrants them to stay up here. And it's going to be really cool to see the maturation process of Banuelos and Betances, these guys who were so highly touted last year. Betances got a call up. Banuelos did not.
Betances started the game.
Yeah, he did.
Banuelos came up at the end of the year.
Oh, he was in the bullpen.
He was in the bullpen.
That's right.
Came up.
My mind is like a sieve. But it's going to be interesting, very, very exciting, to say the least, to watch them grow. And Joe and I will be in Scranton, and we'll be in Trenton, and we'll be chronicling all these guys for you, trying to bring you scouting reports the best we can from minor league camp during the season, which is why we want to talk to these guys while we're down in Tampa and, you know, knock off some of these guys while we're down there, especially, you know, guys like Dante Bichette Jr.
Yeah.
And how his relationship with Joe Girardi maybe affected where he was drafted and how close he is with, you know, the Girardis are close with the Bichettes. We'll get that. Preston Mattingly is now in with the Yankees farm system.
Yeah.
We could talk to him about his dad and how his dad's doing in L.A. and how, you know, how he feels to put that pinstripe shirt on. It's just, there's so many storylines.
Absolutely.
And when you come from Ivy League basketball and Greg Mangano, and then who's a great basketball player, by the way, and he does have a shot to get to the NBA or play professionally somewhere overseas. He's got a lot of skill, and we saw that last Friday night against Columbia and Yale's win. And, you know, talking about Ivy League basketball really quick, Harvard lost to Penn on Saturday. So now going into the last weekend of the season, if Yale picks up a sweep, they have to sweep Penn and Princeton, two of the toughest teams in the league. But if they do that and Harvard loses to Columbia or Cornell, Yale and Penn have a share of the title. Well, no, Penn would have lost to Yale, so Yale would have a share of the title with Harvard, and there'd be a one-game playoff.
Wow.
So that would be interesting. Be really interesting to see that happen. But I went off on a tangent, and I'm sorry. But there's just so many storylines.
Yeah,
and
so
going
many
from
story
Ivy
lines.
League and the Nets, it's just nice to get a little
breath of
fresh air in
Tampa.
We're
also going to start a new show
again.
Called Swag Wagon, which that's going to air throughout the season. So I can't wait for everybody to get
are
involved.
Are we debuting that down in Tampa?
No.
We're not.
We're gonna do the shows from Tampa.
Are we gonna interview Mark Tichetta?
Little inside joke here. One of the fans last year kept calling him Mark Tichetta.
I thought that was one of your best pieces ever.
Oh, thank you.
When you fawned everything and you made fun of them as they were talking. They probably didn't like it, but I did. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, that was fun.
But Andy Pettit's down there.
Yeah.
We'll try to corral him. Bernie Williams is going to be down there as well. We can
That's
try
right.
to talk to him as well.
So it's an interesting year of special instructors that basically are just a couple of years removed from playing
right.
themselves.
Right.
I'm sure Jorge Posada will be doing that in the future at some point.
Mm-hmm. Too fresh.
Especially that he's got a house in Tampa. It just makes all the sense in the world.
You know what? I'm glad you brought him up. Good for Jorge, by the way. What a career. I mean, just go and relax and enjoy your family. You know, enjoy Jorge Jr. You know, watch him grow up. He's been through so much, and now you could be with him all the time. What else did he have to prove?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
He didn't need to go to, you know, Baltimore and play an awful season with an awful team.
Yeah, he ends his career as a Yankee. He goes out, not on top of the World Series ring, but you know what? He got one in 2009, and he had the highest average in the ALDS. That guy, all he did was hit against the Tigers. He was the only one.
Yeah.
He was the only one who hit the ball.
Well, he's made some great contributions, and, you know, we wish him nothing but the best. And
So, just a reminder, if you've made it this long in the podcast, starting on Saturday, YesNetwork.com is going to start filling up with video, blogs. I'm going to have one that likens the Core Four to the Beatles and the U.S. invasion back in 1964-65. Those Beatles started at Shea Stadium. These Beatles never went to Shea to play, except for those interleague games. But I'm working on it now. It's pretty good. You're going to want to look out for that as well. But we have a lot to offer. So will the players. Can't wait to see Woody, the security guard. He's always fun.
Yes, my guy.
Big Woody.
Big. Oh.
That's just not.
Okay. And on that note, we're. It was a good show, Chris.
Yeah, it was until then. All right, we're going to wrap things up, and we will talk to you guys from Tampa this weekend. Later.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.